Good evening and welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot and I'm joined tonight in the studio by KBNF's new general manager, John Howard. We're going to find out a bit more about him tonight, and I want to welcome you to the show and also to Western Colorado, John.
Well, I'm really, really excited to be here. It's just such a cool place.
So you moved here from the Isle of Wight with your wife, Erica, which is quite a transition, I would imagine. Can you tell me how you ended up living over there? Because you're from the States originally.
I am.
And then why you decided to come back?
Well, can I use the flip answer that I've used from the day I moved to the Isle of Wight? And it's a guy thing, you know. Why does a guy do anything?
I bet you were following a girl.
There was a woman involved.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what really, it took me there in the first place. I met a woman from the island in San Antonio, Texas, of all places. And she took me to the island for the first time, and I just fell in love with it. And it became my my decompressed place. Everybody needs one of those. It just was a problem that was so far away. But that's how I got there. I went there with this woman and fell in love with it, and was using it as my go away place for about 6 or 7 years, and then just decided at one point I was going to try to move there. And it took 2 years of dealing with the British government to get a visa that allowed me to go there to live and work. And so I just up sticks and went. Mm-hmm.
What were you doing over there for work?
I was going to say, I was trying to do as
sure
little as possible.
Yeah.
I did a number of things, but the most fun was I was working with young people with visual impairments. And I'm a bit of a technology geek, which is handy in this business. And I was providing technology support for young people so they could access the curriculum better. And I worked in various different schools around the island. There are quite a few schools on this little island. And basically worked for the council, which is the county commission mm-hmm. equivalent. And that's what I was doing. I also created a volunteer center for the island through another organization, another not-for-profit on the island. And that was pretty much fun, too, working with the different they're all called charities there. Here, when you call something a charity, I think it has a bit of a negative connotation, but there it's just that the term for not-for-profit is a charity. Mm-hmm. And working with them to try to hook up people who need volunteers with people who wanted to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. And how did you decide to come back to the States?
Well, radio is a funny thing. You know, I'd done radio for over 20 years before I ran away. And I use that in a positive way, folks. I said that before, and people are like, oh, what'd you do, leave your family and everything behind? But no, I was a single person, and I just decided it was time to go on a big adventure. So I just kind of, you know, after you've been away from it for a while, you kind of forget the things that annoy you, and you start missing the things that you really loved about it. And I started looking. I started looking about 3 or 4 years ago. But I was being really, really picky. I'd done the, not big, big station, big market, but I'd done the quite corporate public radio game to the point where basically all I was doing was trying to raise money. That was all I was doing, really. And I kind of just, it wasn't what I got into it for. The reason I got into radio in the first place, I knew I wanted to be in broadcasting of some sort. And when I looked at both radio and television, I realized that I could do everything in radio. You were given the opportunity in radio to do every single job at some point. And I liked that. Whereas in television, you tend to have to specialize. So that was what made me decide to go into radio. So when I started looking, I wanted to find a station someplace in a place that I wanted to be. And a station where I thought I could really practice radio and help. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come in and make a difference someplace. So I had a couple of false starts and ended up here as a good thing.
In your cover letter, you said that you felt that community radio is the best part of public radio. And I'm wondering why you feel that way. And can you talk a bit about the difference between community radio and public radio?
Well, I guess the reason I think it's the best part, I don't want to be mean here because, you know, I worked in what I call mainstream public radio for a long time. And everybody that can hear our voices right now has access to mainstream public radio on their radio dial. But they tend to sound the same wherever you go. There will be little local bits and pieces they'll put in, but you get the same basic programs at the same basic time. And quite frankly, NPR and PR, well, not so much PR, but NPR especially, that's what they want because it helps the brand. When you can go across the country and flip on the radio at a certain time and hear the same thing. Community radio doesn't do that. I mean, community radio really works hard at trying to... Let me back up just a second, because when I first got into public radio, it wasn't as homogenized as it is now. And I used to describe it as you go into a market. If you're going to start a public radio station, you go into the market, you find out what everybody else is doing, and you do none of that. You do everything else. You do all the other stuff to give people an alternative. And I guess that's really what community radio is about, is to give people something different, to challenge them sometimes to really upset them. That's a good thing. You know, sometimes you need to have your buttons pushed once in a while just to keep you thinking and make sure that you're alive. And community radio is good for all that kind of thing. You can tune into a community radio station usually and get a pretty good idea. If you close your eyes and can't see anything around you, you still can get a pretty good idea of where you are.
So there are many challenges facing community radio stations these days. Can you talk about some of those challenges and how you feel we should face them?
Well, the two biggest challenges, I think, are absolutely related or connected. And one of them is relevancy, and the other is funding. And with one comes the other. And if you lose one, you lose the other. People have lots and lots of choices now. I just having moved here, I had no car, so I got a car, and in it has Sirius, it has satellite radio. I kind of almost wanted to not have it in it, but it was there already because I feel like that is another, it's good. And I'm sure a lot of, the listeners have satellite radio in their cars, but you have so many choices. And so relevancy to me means, giving people the reason, making them want to tune in, making them want to press that button on the radio in the car or at home or whatever and tune in to KVNF. And the only way I believe that we can do that is to give people something they can't get anywhere else, absolutely anywhere else, and that is information about where they live. And newspapers are becoming fewer and further between, and commercial radio stations have smaller and smaller news budgets, and many of them, I haven't had a chance to listen to many of them around in this part of the world, but they tend to be automated, satellite-driven programming. That's what they do. So I believe that our future is to provide the people of this part of the world, this part of Colorado, the best local information about where they live that we can give them.
What are some of your short-term goals in order to make that happen? And what are the longer-term goals for you?
Well, the long-term goal is to, at some point, leave this station in a better place than it was when I walked into it. That's it, bottom line, with better facilities and just better processes in place and with a community that wants to actively support it. So that has to be the ultimate long-term goal. I mean, none of us are going to be here forever, and you always want to leave someplace a little better than you found it. It's the campsite philosophy, you know? Go in and use it and enjoy it, but leave it a little nicer than it was when you got there. Short-term goals, I really want to get to know the area. I want to get to know you all as far as the staff. I want to get to know you all as far as the audience. I want to just learn where I am and what resources we have. And I think we have incredible resources around here. Get a handle on the budget get a handle on some issues that you've brought up through our short time together, and come up with a good plan. I mean, we've got a good board, an active board. They've really gone above and beyond the call of duty over the last few months, and that's great. It's nice to know that we have the support of a bunch of talented people. So it's really my short-term goal is to just kind of discover what the long-term goals are. But there are some little things that we need to be working on. There are little tweaks here and there, just little things.
Mm-hmm.
But the big ones are the budget and that kind of thing.
Who were your mentors in public radio?
Oh, I was so fortunate. Jack Burke was my first general manager. And he was very active in the National Association of Educational Broadcasters. This was way before NPR. This was, in the 60s, when educational, when universities around the country had radio stations, and they weren't quite certain what to do with them, which is where all this radio came from, by the way, was from laboratories in universities in the 20s, and suddenly universities didn't know what to do with these things, and they became public and community radio stations. So Jack was really an activist and was a very key player in the Public Broadcasting Act of, 1969, I'm pretty sure, the one that provided the first funding for public broadcasting in the United States, which ended up funding CPB, which ends up funding PBS and NPR and KVNF and all that stuff. And he actually had in his office one of the pens that Lyndon Johnson used to sign the act. And he just instilled in me the passion. I mean, the about what it's all about and what it, where it came from. He and Ralph Titus, who was my first program director, really drove home that there was something here before NPR. And if NPR leaves, there'll be something here after it. Ralph, his mother was a concert pianist, and she used to drag him to all the her concerts. And he sat backstage, and that's what he did. And was the most, or is actually, the most polished, the most knowledgeable classical music presenter, announcer I've ever been around in my life. And absolutely instilled in me a fearlessness about being in this business and about how important it was and about the people that we serve. And that it's more important to get out information about where you live than necessarily it is about regurgitating information that or programming that comes from someplace else. I mean, I was just very, very fortunate. It was my first job. It was a complete fluke that I landed in this place. A little tiny a share time AM public radio station that doesn't even exist anymore. So it was quite unusual. But it was the best radio gig, really, as far as having a life, because we were on the air from 12:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and other than that, we weren't even on the air. So you had your evenings and weekends off. It was pretty unusual.
There was a time where KVNF was like that, too. They just went silent at a certain point. And if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with KVNF's new general manager, John Howard. I wanted to talk a bit about the other stations that you worked at. You worked at Allegheny Mountain Radio, and then you also worked for a station in Pittsburgh, right?
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Oh, Pittsburgh, Kansas.
No H
so on KRPS.
The end of it. Yes.
Okay. How is KVNF similar to either of those stations, and how are we different?
Well, in many ways, I mean, it's very similar to Allegheny Mountain Radio in that it's volunteer center. I mean, it's almost all of the announcers, the DJs, are volunteer. Very eclectic programming, a lot of local news and information. So in that way, it's very, very similar. The way it's dissimilar is that it's a far more complex system electronically with the different studio. It had three different studios. It has three different studios and multiple transmitters and programming originates from any of the three studios at any given time. And sometimes they even split it where your Allegheny Mountain Radio was doing two things at once, depending on where you were located. But it was all about being local. So you were being local in that county and local in a different way in another county. At KRPS, it was completely professionally run when I walked in the door. It was also $500,000 in debt. So I instituted volunteers in that organization. When I was in El Paso, we were very strong. We had a lot of volunteers involved there because I was in El Paso before I was at KRPS. It's really not very similar because it's very mainstream public radio, not much local programming, jazz and classical music. The licensee was pretty intolerant for anything too out there. It was quite conservative and I had a lot of fun and we did a lot of good work, but it just wasn't, I don't know. I was there for 11 years, so it was obviously something I was enjoying doing. But after a while, it just got to be the same, too much mm-hmm. of the same. We were talking about that before we went on the air, about doing the same thing every time, and you mm-hmm. want to mix things up once in a while. That was my first break, was when I left Pittsburgh State, or left KRPS. I took a career break, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm. What do you appreciate about KVNF's programming? And you just touched on that a little bit because we are pretty eclectic. We have a lot going on basically on the airwaves. And what then would you maybe change about it?
Well, I haven't been here long enough to change anything. I don't believe in change for the sake of change. I don't believe in saying, hey, this is the way I've always done everything, so I want you all to do it this way too, because you may have a way that works just as well that I've never even been around. So in the short term, I don't see making any major changes at all. But I do just, you know, it is a box of chocolates kind of radio station. You never know what you're going to get. And sometimes you pick one out and you love it, and sometimes you're like, oh, okay. But it's okay. That's what community radio is all about. Even in a mainstream public radio station, I always, especially during fundraising, would talk about the fact that, you know, I don't actually trust people who say they like everything that they hear all the time on any given radio station, because it can be quite radically different. I think that's okay to not love everything. It's just good that there's enough about it that you do love to support it. And there's plenty to love about KVNF, and even the things that I may not love the most personally, I'm sure there are other people who do. And as we both know, we've had this conversation, we don't program what we like. We program what we believe is a need to be filled in the community.
Some things are changing with CPB, which is how we get a third of our funding at this point. Can you explain to the listeners a little bit about the new sort of tiered process in which you receive funding?
Well, you mean how it's going to change over the next mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years or something like that? I'm actually just getting up to speed with this. So yes, the CPB, which is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is the federal agency that funds non-commercial public broadcasting in this country. We get a grant from them. Well, not all stations get grants, but if you become CPB qualified, then you get a grant. And it has historically been based on your non-federal financial support, the infamous NFFS. And they're changing the thresholds for that over the next few years. But honestly, when I look at where we are and at the category that we're already there for the third year out. So it's not as big of a worry unless the sky falls, which it always could. Mm-hmm. It just means we have to be better. And the point behind all this is from the CPB, is that they want to help those that help themselves. There's a long history in the system of people getting grants and not working very hard about it. And to be quite frank, that was one of the situations that happened in Virginia, in that they just kept getting all these grants and didn't know what they admitted they weren't very involved in their own fundraising. And they're going to be one of the stations that are going to be in trouble because their NFFS is quite low. But this station has always worked quite hard at involving the community and understood that, well, for one thing, probably since the day you started in this business, Allie, there have been the threats of cuts at some point, there's going to be no money from CPB next year. What are we going to do?
Yes,
and then we
I've
go through this
that.
Big, you know, you go through this big, big, big program, this campaign of contacting, you know, your elected officials and blah, 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 blah. You do all this stuff, and then it suddenly goes away again. And about 3 or 4 years later, it happens again. And we go through these cycles. And yes, there is less funding than there used to be. And I think there is going to continue to be less funding because, quite frankly, there are a lot of needs out there other than just public broadcasting. Public broadcasting is important, but we need to just do a better job for ourselves. And quite frankly, when the hard times come, who do you want to depend on? Do you want to depend on the government or do you want to depend on your friends and neighbors? And I think we want to depend on our friends and neighbors. So we'll be fine.
And what do you like to do for fun outside of working at radio stations?
Well, my wife and I are both serious walkers. We're not hikers. I mean, although we might end up being hikers here because there's kind of hiking area. But we just walk. On the Isle of Wight, one of the most incredible things, and it was one of the things that made me want to go there, is the island is completely crisscrossed. You can get from anywhere to anywhere on footpaths. And footpaths go right through people's properties, right through barnyards, next to houses, and they're owned by the Queen. So they're public right of way. And you can just walk from any place to any place. And the best part about it is, of course, it's nice and walk. I mean, it's beautiful, and there's the sea and the cliffs and the downs. The downs are hills, which is always quite funny to think about going up the downs. But people say, "Yeah, well, I'm going up the downs."
Uh-huh.
But you walk from any place, from one side of the island to the other, and of course, there more than likely will be a pub or two along the way, which is
perfect.
Another thing. Yeah.
But
So I'm a walker. I cook. I like to cook. I read. I like to explore. I like to travel, but I'm not as avid of a traveler as I used to be. I kind of like to get where I'm going to be and enjoy where I am now these days. So.
And what kind of music do you like?
Oh.
If you were going to host a show on KVNF, what show do you think it would be?
I was asked this during the interview process, and I know this sounds flip, but I have lots of interest in music. So, and actually it's probably the hardest kind of show to do. So, but I think maybe just some sort of really eclectic show where you never know what you're going to get, because I love singer-songwriters. I especially love, I mean, I like to hear music by the people who wrote it. I'd love that. Because I think even though people can interpret different ways, I just think there's something special about hearing it from the person who wrote it, even if they're not even that good of a musician, which quite often they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love jazz, and I did a blues show for 6.5 years, but we have, you know, that's covered quite well here already.
Right.
My first on-air gig was doing classical music, which I was horrible at, but I had great fun at it because of my mentor. He kind of pushed me off onto the local college station in the town where the other radio station was. And I got roped into doing the Sunday morning classical music program on that. So I don't know what I would do. I'd just probably try to mix it up.
Sounds like you can fill in when the DJs don't show up. Maybe you can jump in.
I don't know how to run a board anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll teach you. I'll show you how to do that. You'd rather not learn?
No, it'll be fun. To me, that's the key thing. And that's what I hope I can express to you and to the staff, you know, everybody. This has to be fun. I've always thought radio was fun. I mean, there's always... You always have your down bits, but we're quite fortunate to be able to be in this business, and I just think it's a special thing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking with KVNF's General Manager John Howard, and you've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. Thanks for tuning in.